Blog Talk Radio. Love family. All right. How's everybody doing out there? One love, one love. Happy, happy, joy, joy, all that wonderful stuff. I hope everybody's having a magnificent Monday. Happy Moon Day. Happy Monday. Happy day of reflection. Hopefully you had a wonderful day and a beautiful weekend, and that the rest of your week is going to be fantastic. Just claim it right now. The rest of the week is going to be fantastic, okay? So welcome to episode 98 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your hostess, Queen Amina. Very happy to be here with you this week. Of course, so much is going on. I'm going to get into it. But I want to say happy birthday to all the Leos. Virgo season is coming up. It's my husband's birthday coming up, too. I love the Virgos. Virgos are beautiful, beautiful people. Sometimes a little overly critical, but it's all par for the course. And it always comes in love. My rising sign actually is Virgo, so that makes life interesting, considering the fact that I'm an Aries sun and Aries moon. But the Virgo helps to keep me calm and balances me out, and I'm grateful for that. It also keeps me aware. Hey, Sister Dawn, I see you. Let's see. I'm trying to think of where I really, really want to start. It was funny because my husband and I were talking, and he loves the show. He listens to the show every week and whenever I'm on, and he was like, talk about something happy. And I'm like, okay, I will. I'll talk about something happy. So at the end of tonight's show, I'm going to talk about some things that might be able to help you in your everyday life. And, you know, if you're dealing with something, if you're dealing with tribulations or you're struggling with something, hopefully what I will say will help you to straighten things out and figure things out and get into a better place and a better space. I know a lot is happening with folks. People are healing. People are dying. People are going through a lot of drama. A lot of things are happening. And a lot of this is par for the course for humanity. We are in a state and a space in our galactic whereabouts, if you will, where we are, how can I say, prime for getting things together, okay? And again, I know that when someone, especially a loved one, transitions, it's a very difficult thing and it hurts our hearts. I know. I have lost both of my parents, but I have gained two amazing angels and two amazing ancestors that I know walk with me and are with me every day. We are in a space of enlightenment. We are in a space of learning. Sometimes we learn and it's uncomfortable. And I know that we all seek comfort. We all seek happiness. But I'm saying in order to seek these things, you also need to be these things. So you need to like fake it till you make it sometimes. You need to be happy even when you're not really feeling that happy. But give thanks and be happy for the things that you are joyful about. Okay? It's very, very important to maintain a positive mindset and to be a buoyant, joyous, you know, jubilant individual because we're here. I keep saying if we're here, if we woke up today and we opened our eyes, honey, we are in the game and we can win the game. We can make it happen. A lot of people didn't make it. A lot of people closed their eyes last night and did not wake up today. So I give thanks for this lifetime. I give thanks for the Creator's Creator, Prime Creator's Creator, for helping me to open my eyes every day and make a new day another opportunity for gladness and for goodness and for love, for peace. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there. I'm going to touch on this again at the end of the show, but right about now, we're going to go into some current events and what is happening. I love it when everybody lets me know that they are in and they are on. I'm like, yeah, yeah, let's make it happen. Let's go, let's go. Okay. Also, I hope you enjoyed the opening music that you heard. That song is called Breathe. I wrote that song many years ago. I originally did it with LaFunkin and Duran Tariq of LaFunkin, and then the mix that you heard was by Glenn Underground and Working Underneath out of Chicago. And so I hope you really enjoyed the lyrics because it's easy for us to get stressed out and to panic and to be uncomfortable. And that's why the chorus, I'm saying, just close your eyes and open your mind. Search deep inside and release. Okay? the peace you find turns rain into sunshine when you breathe in the light. Breathe. And I live by that. I am not someone who does not experience her own amount of stress or tribulation or even physical pain. I am human. I experience these things. But at the same time, I do my best to rise above it and go beyond it by embracing the fact that, A, I am here. B, I am grateful for my life. I am grateful for my situation and my circumstances. I am grateful and thankful for the love of all of my family, my husband, my sister, my niece and nephews, my entire family and the circle that surrounds me, even the love that I can get from strangers when I'm out in public. I am reflecting this love, and so I'm getting it back, and I am grateful for that. So regardless of what I experience, I do my best to rise above it because I know it could be way worse. And I give thanks for this experience and for this lifetime. So I just wanted to touch on that for a second. I'm going to come back to that. I know I may sound a little hoarse, but I was talking all day today with different individuals, and some of whom are going through a very difficult time. And, you know, I know that I'm a vessel of love and light to help individuals close to me and even those who may not even be that close to me to get through whatever difficult times that they're going through. All right, so here we go. I'm going into the news because the news has been quite interesting. But if you're wondering why I sound a little hoarse, that is why. And it's all good because I got nothing but love for everybody. Everybody. I love everybody, and I pray every day that the universal creator's creator can mend the hearts of the people who are hurt and can love the people who are wicked into light, that they will know light and they will know love and they will no longer be wicked. I pray these things every day. So, you know, just know that I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I know that I'm a vessel of love and peace and joy for this world, whether it's through music, whether it's through counseling, whether it's through joking around, whether it's through dancing, singing, making clothes for somebody, whatever it is, I know I am that vessel, and I'm going to continue to be that vessel, okay, family? This is who I am. I know who I am. I love it. And I didn't wake up this way, okay? I wasn't born into that per se. Maybe I was, but it took me some time to really actualize and figure out who and what I was and what my purpose was on this planet. And so a lot of us are healers. A lot of us are the most loving, beautiful people. And sometimes we get into interesting/difficult situations so that we can really affirm that within ourselves. The universe does not seek to punish you. Please know that, okay? We are basically receiving a lot of karmic retribution from this lifetime and past lifetimes. And our goal is just to get it right. Our goal is to grow and to evolve and to become the best you you can be in every single lifetime that you incarnate into, so that perhaps someday, soon we pray, we will envelop and evolve into the gods and goddesses that we truly are in a greater sense, to the point where you won't even need a body anymore. That's what we're really doing down here. Okay, so again, I'm going to go into the news. I'm going to come back to this a little bit later. But I just had to share that. Spirit definitely told me to share that right now, just in case anybody can't be on the show all night and you got to go. Hopefully you got the message that I just gave. Okay, give thanks and know that you have purpose and you are beautiful and divine in yourself. And try not to make jacked up mistakes. Word is born. Okay, so number one. Recently, in Columbus, Ohio, teachers have gone on strike, okay? Their contract has not been approved, and they are tired of the rigmarole and all the running around and back talk. They're tired, so they are on strike, okay? This is also largely due to the gross negligence of the school board in Columbus, Ohio, to do very necessary repairs in the school buildings. There are videos of leaking ceilings, broken stairs, peeling lead paint. Yeah, I said lead paint. It's 2022 and we still got lead paint in a school. They've got to find the money to make these repairs and to make things better, for real. The conditions are really dilapidated, and these teachers are fed up. They're probably not even getting paid what they're worth, but they're still willing to do the grind and to help educate the children of our future. But you cannot expect people to want to come to work in dilapidated conditions. Not in America, sorry. We're supposed to be the biggest, baddest, and the boldest, and the most wealthy. All right, well, where is it? Are we really appropriating the funds necessary to make sure that every school in this country is safe and an environment that is worthy of learning? I know we've had a lot of remote learning and what have you ever since COVID and all that kind of stuff, but majority of children want to go to school. They want to go into an institution where they can make friends and they can touch things and learn about life and learn science and mathematics and history and music and art and all kinds of things. Just like their parents may go to work every day, they want to go to school. When I was a young girl, my mother, I told you all this before, but just in case someone's listening for the first time, my mother was an educator. My mother was a teacher from elementary school, junior high school, all the way to college. She was a professor in college when she finally retired. But when I was a little girl and I would, you know, not really want to go to school sometime, and she would say to me, school is your job. I have a job as a teacher and I have to go to work. Your job is to go to school and to learn, period. Do your job. And it clicked for me. I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I got it. And I really enjoyed school. You know, it was an interesting time going, of course, from nursery school to pre-K to kindergarten all the way through to 12th grade and then graduating and going on to receive my degree from Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. And I had my ups and downs. I had my doubt. I failed. I succeeded. I overcame. There was a lot that happened, but most of what really happened was that I was able to find out just how smart I was. Now, I'm not saying you can't get this from remote learning. You probably can. But those of us who went to school K to 12, and even those of us who went into university studies, and some of us have gone on to get their master's and even their doctorate, you know the challenges that you face. And so it's only you, and you've got to learn to overcome. You've got to learn to adapt, navigate, avoid, all kind of stuff. But it teaches you so that when you become an adult, you have a skill set that you can actually use, and not just in terms of a profession, but life itself, relationships, friendships, being responsible. All that stuff comes with school. So I'm not mad at these teachers in Columbus, Ohio, who are on strike, picketing, okay, they're in front of their schools with their signs, on strike, blah, 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 because they, too, deserve a proper work environment. Teachers need to feel safe, too. I was very lucky as a school teacher. Most of my assignments were in new schools, new school buildings. But this is something interesting. One of the schools I worked in had an infestation of mold primarily on the fourth and third floors, but mainly on the fourth floor, to the point where they had to, like, blockade the staircases and everything to that particular floor while they were trying to do all the work and remove the mold and all kind of stuff. And this had happened because of poor construction. Apparently, you know how they be trying to build these schools in 5 minutes, they put the HVAC system too close to each other. So the heating system was too close to another duct system where the condensation, especially in the summertime from the air conditioning, would then drip into these ducts, and then the ducts would then drip the water into the ceiling and the walls of the school on the fourth floor. So mold was everywhere. One of our teachers got deathly ill. I believe she sued the board. I hope she won. It was crazy. But I remember when we as teachers had to put our foot down and be like, we're not teaching on those floors, and we're not even going to do after school because we don't want to be in this building too long. Okay, you guys know mold can kill you, okay, especially black mold. Yes, it can. So there was mold on all over the walls, the ceilings. It was getting into the books. It was getting into all the musical instruments, and these were the departments that were on the fourth and third floor. It was very interesting, but we stood up for it, and they were able to clean everything up and do what they needed to do and bring the building back up to code and fix the whole HVAC system on the roof and blah, 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 blah. But squeaky wheels get oil. If you don't say anything and you just go along with it, then, yeah, you can get sick. Of course, if you die, they're just going to find somebody to replace you. So it does make sense when things are wrong to stand up for it. And that's what these teachers in Columbus, Ohio, are doing. And when I saw the conditions of these schools, I mean, when I saw one classroom with, like, the ceiling coming down and water coming in after it rained, really? How are we supposed to teach in this type of environment? And what parent would want to send their child to a school that has these types of conditions? Nobody. So Columbus, Ohio, better get it together, right? Columbus School Board, best to get it together, because what they're expecting from these teachers is ridiculous. And so I hope that these teachers will be vindicated. I hope that these students will, will do well, and that things will be fixed in order for them to come back to the building and matriculate properly. All right, that was very interesting when I'm looking at peeling lead paint. Lead paint? How is it that this hasn't been fixed already? I remember when I was in junior high school and there was a whole thing about asbestos and lead. Come on already. So I really hope that they'll be vindicated. I hope that they will win their case. I hope that their contract will be negotiated fairly and they will get what they are seeking, as well as the repairing of these various schools in Columbus, Ohio. Okay? I'm going to keep my eye on this for y'all. Number two, you might have noticed over the weekend on Sunday, there was a very violent arrest of a 27-year-old man named Randall Worcester. He was accused of trespassing and other crimes that are unknown at this time. However, the police officers beat this man to a pulp, and I'm still like, why? Okay? I saw the video. The video, of course, went viral, and the world was made known of this particular incident. Earlier today, the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, blasted the event as reprehensible and against police procedure. He said in his press conference that, quote, this is not what our law enforcement community represents, end quote. So I'm like, well, what does it represent if these three officers who are not rookies were able to assault this man in this way in broad daylight? Like, for real. The man, Worcester, okay, Randall Worcester, he was released from custody earlier today after his arrest, okay? But a TikTok social media video was released, and it showed the three officers brutally attacking him. They were punching him in the head, kicking him repeatedly. It's very disturbing to watch. They were all over him. And all one could see was the very top of his head and his flailing feet. He's grateful for the video that was taken because he and his attorneys feel that it may have actually saved his life. Okay? The passerby that took the video shouted out at the officers, and that's what actually made them stop their vicious attack. The man actually feels as if the video wasn't taken, he might have died. He might have been killed right there. I mean, you should see them kicking him in the head. There's one officer at his midsection to his legs repeatedly just kicking him and kicking him and kicking him. And I'm like, what in hell's name did the boy do? For real, for real. It's really crazy. And this is Arkansas, but it's really crazy. So all of the officers are currently suspended with pay. And there's a major investigation underway, okay? One of the officers is also under investigation for police brute use of force. So obviously he's got a problem with his hands. Okay, now, not for nothing, the surprise for me at the end of it all was that he wasn't black. okay? Worcester, I don't know if he's Latino, I don't know if he's white, but he's definitely not a deeply melanated individual. And it was interesting to me because their attack is unfortunately all too common with black men and women, even children. So for us, it seems like it's standard operating procedure. So his attorneys are prepared to fight, and we shall see what happens. So just stand by. But it was very interesting when I found out he was not a brother. I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, well, what did Punkin really do? The world is wild, y'all. You got to be careful. All right, number three. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is apparently having some issues. He's busing immigrants who have come from South America and Mexico to New York City and Washington, D.C. He seems to see this as a political win as he's going to run for president in the 2024 election, but he's really making a hot mess, okay? It always gets me how these crazy white Republicans are so afraid of immigration, especially melanated immigrants from Mexico, South America, the Caribbean, and especially Africa. Yet they have no indigenous connection or relation to this country at all, except for the fact that, okay, their forefathers may be British or Spanish or Portuguese or whatever. But they're not indigenous to this nation. So how is it that they're always so excited about letting, quote-unquote, black and brown people into the United States when America was a brown and black nation until their arrival? How is that? And they run on this. And I hope that you're paying attention to what's going on in the political world right now. I have heard a lot of brothers and sisters talk about, oh, I don't pay attention to politics, I don't vote, I don't this. But as long as you live here and decisions are being made about you, for you, and around you, you would need to try to get into the game and figure out, okay, how do I vote, and so on and so forth. Y'all know how I roll. I know that most presidential elections are fixed, but general elections of Congress and Senate and even city council and things like that, those are not usually rigged at all. And it's local where you have real power. The power of the vote is most heavy in local elections. So it's important for us to register to vote and to definitely make sure we're paying attention to what's going on in the political climate. Because right about now, we've got some specific individuals who seem to want to take the entire country back to 1775. And we can't really afford that. If you think that by rolling back Roe versus Wade is not a direct implication of this. They've already said then they want to work on gay marriage. How far back do they really intend to go? Will they make interracial marriages illegal? Will they revert back to slavery? I'm just trying to really get y'all to see how the Republican Party is pushing to retard the entire country, as well as mixing up what the Constitution actually says, as well as the different amendments to the Constitution and where we are today with regard to education, religion, and personal rights. They're pushing hard. They are in panic mode. Please believe me when I tell you. Panic. So I think it's interesting that They push this. They have this fear of immigration. They're afraid of the country becoming overly black and brown when that's what it originally was hundreds of years ago, especially before they massacred millions of Native Americans just so they could be here. And then they enslaved dark-skinned Native Americans, relabeled them as Negro, thus being enslaved individuals that were three-fourths of a human. Y'all better pay attention to the game. I'm not anti-immigration at all. My grandparents came over here on ships, and they were proud to become American citizens. I am American-born. I am only the second generation born in America from my grandparents. And I'm proud. But I am very disappointed in what I am seeing happening with the Republican Party. Okay, I'm going to go back to Ron DeSantis of Florida. I cannot take him right now. He's carrying on. Now, yes, he is against teaching LGBTQIA/alphabet people. He's against teaching that to first graders. And so am I, and so was I. I did not teach that when I was a school teacher in elementary school. I would not. I skipped over that. I picked another book. I was like, whatever, y'all going to deal with me later. I'm not worried about it. I am not going to go into this with kindergarten and first grade children. I wasn't even doing it with second grade. Something is a little interesting with that as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to get too deep into it right now, but I do think that that's kind of deep because we weren't learning about getting married when I was in first grade. I was learning how to write and how to count and keep it together. Hello? Sexuality did not come into play in my curriculum. So that might be the one thing I agree with what he's doing. But the rest of it, hell no, because he's off the meat rack with it, all right? He's pushing and pushing to change the narrative on history. He's also putting Christianity into schools when we are supposed to have a distinct separation of church and state, okay? They're instituting something kind of new called originalism, which has also been touted by Justice Scalia. It is a serious attempt to alter history and misinterpret the United States Constitution. There is an emphasis on Christian nationalism that is very unsettling in his whole move. There's something wrong. I mean, it's wrong. And if this goes through, they've already began trying to train teachers and stuff. They actually paid teachers, I think, was it $300 or $700, to attend a three-day training on all the changes in the curriculum. And many teachers were very disturbed at what they were having to learn. They were like, what is this? Okay? It's a direct pushback as well against critical race theory. Okay, that basically scared the living crap out of them. And also, since the 1619 Project came out, they have had their panties in a bunch, honey. They do not want to teach the truth around the slave trade in the United States because they don't want to make white children uncomfortable where, as far as I've seen, African-American children and Latino children have been made to feel uncomfortable about many a thing in school, yet we still matriculate, we still get through. We don't need to alter history to make people feel good. I talked about this last week. Something's not right with that. Okay? He basically said that there will be no, quote, woke dumpster fires here. Now, do you all remember when being woke just meant that you were aware of things? Especially in the African-American community. I remember Erykah Badu had a song called I Stay Woke on her America album. Like, being woke means I'm aware of things historically, scientifically, ethically, literally. I'm aware. So now all of a sudden, being woke is a bad thing. look at that for a moment. All of a sudden, being aware of something, knowing the truth about something, is a bad thing? When did this happen? Like, woke is literally under attack by these crazy right-wing idiots. And y'all know I'm woke. I didn't really have a choice. When you have a parent who is an African studies teacher, when you have another parent who is very aware of our struggle, when you have grandparents that are Garveyites, you're a little woke. I've been woke for a long time, like since before I was 10. That coupled with the fact that I was able to travel most of the planet with my family because my father was an executive for Swiss Air, the first African-American executive for Swiss Air Airlines. So, yeah, I've been woke for a while. I'm grateful. Case in story, my husband and I had a beautiful weekend, and we were able to go to the Blue Ridge Winery, which is a beautiful winery in Pennsylvania, with absolutely delicious wine. Oh, my goodness, the wine was so good. In any event, we're sitting there, and we have a tendency to draw attention to ourselves. So this elderly white man comes over. Turns out he's like the maintenance man for the facility. Really nice, little, humble white man, okay? Really beautiful person. And this is why I don't really judge books by covers, okay? Because I believe there's goodness in all people. You have to show me and prove to me that you're evil and wicked and stupid in order for me to think otherwise, okay? Because basically I'm going to take you as you come. So he came over. He said hi. He was making jokes. We were having a great conversation. Beautiful, beautiful man. His name was Tim. And he had on a hat, like a baseball cap. And his baseball cap had Mount Pilatus, Lucerne. Now, maybe the average person would not connect anything to that, but I did because I remember when my family and I went to Lucerne, Switzerland, and we went up Mount Pilatus in a cable car and had lunch on top of the mountain in a snowstorm. I will never forget that. And so the fact that he had that hat on was surprising to me, and so I acknowledged it with my own personal experience. And then he went on to say that his daughter had gotten it for him because she went to study abroad in Germany, and she went to Lucerne on a trip and had a wonderful time, blah, 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 and bought him his cap. So he was also not overly surprised, but I could see he was slightly taken aback at the fact that I had mentioned that my family and I had been to Lucerne and went up to Mount Pilatus. And it was wonderful. We had the greatest conversation. We actually look forward to going back. We'll see him again and hang out and have more wine. But it was wonderful. We had a great time. And we have to realize that even when I go hard sometimes on certain white people, like DeSantis and Abbott and some of these other idiots, I do not have a generalized negative outlook towards white people, because we're all people. I got black people I don't like, so it's not like I'm anti-white, no, I'm not. Quiet as it's kept, I got white blood in me from my great-great-great-grandfather. I'm not racist and I'm not prejudiced. I am anti-idiot. So I need that to come out because I want y'all to realize I'm not trying to go hard against white people. That is not my agenda or my intention at all. I do go hard in a good way for my culture and for the people who have contributed so much to this planet. And those people happen to be melanin dominant. I'm grateful for that. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of who I am. But I have love and respect for everyone. What I don't like is when people like DeSantis and others wish to alter the truth around history. It's bad enough that when we are in grade school and they talk about the Native American. Very often, they mislabel us as savages. That gets under my skin to a certain extent, because if you really want to know who the savage was, historically speaking, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, to name a few. Okay, these men raped black women and had offspring with these children, with these women, who were mainly children at the time. But yet and still, they're on our money. We got universities named after them. They got monuments everywhere. But we can't teach that. We can't teach that George Washington had an illegitimate black son named Vernon, named for Mount Vernon, New York. We can't teach that Thomas Jefferson's relationship with Sally Hemings was actually rape. We have to turn it into some type of love story. So, okay, we can't teach that. So as you progress as a human and you're going through school or whatever, it's up to you to seek out alternative means of literature and what have you for you to get these truths that I'm talking about. But if you want to go and say that slavery wasn't so bad, we got a problem. Okay? They're using the cloak of humanity over the subject when there was actual growth in humanity. They claim that 4% of the slaves were brought to the United States by the British. And that part is true. But they fail to include all of the other enslaved peoples brought here by the Portuguese and others, okay, before the Brits. We're not just talking about British slavery. Because the slave trade was huge. The Spanish were in on it. The Portuguese were in on it. Yes, the Brits were in on it. But you can't just single out the British individuals who brought only 4% of the slaves here. No. You have so many other countries that were involved that enslaved African people and brought them to this nation. Then they have a little map in the South when slavery had been throughout the entire East Coast. Slavery just did not occur in Charleston, South Carolina, family. Y'all know that. And I'm here to reconfirm that slavery was rampant all through the East Coast. Even from Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, then we go down into Maryland and West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, Georgia. Like, they are literally trying to rewrite it, and this is something that we can't allow to happen. I really hope my Floridians are on the line and y'all are listening and you're going to put forth your power of the vote in the primary and as well as in November, because this can't happen. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I said this last week. We know slavery is Americans' original sin, but you can't assuage it and make it seem like it was something that was okay and the slaves were treated nicely. GTFOH, real talk. Slavery was heinous. Imagine your entire lifetime. You're born into slavery. You die a slave. Imagine that. And some of us have that in our past life experiences. It wasn't a game. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't fun. I've talked about the sex camps. With the breeding, they had special breeding plantations. All they did was breed people. They would take a young girl as soon as puberty hit and she began to menstruate and make her be forced to have sex with a grown man who was living like an animal in a horse stable. You know how many young girls that were enslaved died as a result of trying to bear children too early? They don't talk about that. They don't talk about, they don't want to discuss how the white slave master's wife would tippy toe down into the plantation barracks and have sex with black male slaves. Then she's impregnated. She has a baby that comes out brown, and that baby becomes a slave. Then you got the other side of it, the slave master who continuously rapes the black women on the plantation, and they have these babies. And then the wife is jealous and upset, and so she winds up beating those children to death. Really? They actually made wanting to be free a psychotic condition called dryptomania. Really? Like, everyone's national inclination is to be free. I don't care who you are or where you are. Even people who were born into slavery, they knew it was wrong and they wanted to be free from it. That is not a psychotic condition. But yet, it was labeled as a psychotic condition. Look up all these things I'm saying. Look up meritorious manumission. Look up all these things. And then they want to just take it away from the education system and make it seem like, oh, everything was hunky-dory. It was not. And so I really pray that this does not get pushed but so far, because the other backlash of this will be that students from Florida will be dumb as a bag of rocks. And when it comes time for them to move into the world or maybe even go out of state to go to college, they're going to be miseducated. And they will look stupid. The other part of this is, don't think that there are other Republicans that want to try to infiltrate the educational system and bring this crap to fruition. Hence, trying to make future generations completely ignorant of the truth. Now, I don't know how many of you are Netflix fans, okay? My husband is a Netflix fan. Different things that he recommends. I'm not that much of a movie buff, but I will check things out. And we watched a movie, I cannot remember the name of it, so forgive me, and if any of you know the name of it, text it to me. Stars Michael B. Jordan, and it's in the future, and they're burning books. They do not want people to know the truth of things. And so people who have books are like fugitives. A lot of them are on the run. They live in hiding. They live underground. But if you're found to have a book, they raid your house and burn the books. So there seems to be a bit of a lateral connection in my mind between what Governor DeSantis and others are trying to do with the education system and this movie. Because if you push it and you push it and Republicans get control and they're able to push it and twist it, this is what we will have. It's bad enough you got some ignorant-ass people in this world. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that you have ignorant-ass people in America when we're supposed to be the greatest, wealthiest nation of all time. But to put forth an initiative that literally twists and takes out the truth of history, especially America's original sin, that's horrible. That's dangerous. So be aware of it. Pay attention to it. And don't be one of these people out here talking about, I'm not going to vote, I don't vote, ah, la, 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 la. Don't do that. You do have power in your vote, especially in your local elections. These crazy Congress people who just got elected in their primary in the Republican Party, many of whom were actually at the January 6th insurrection, they can't be allowed to win. I'm sorry. We need sanity in our government. I know we need a lot of changes in our government. I will not ever dispute that. But I do not believe that the way we do it is through gross negligence and violence. I don't believe that. And if anybody is paying attention and sees how we, as quote-unquote black people, continue to remain relatively nonviolent, considering the crap that has been thrown upon us, either since they brought us here illegally through the slave trade and how we've been treated subsequently, whether our ancestors came here of their own volition or not. We got problems in America. Yes, we do. But I do believe that we can actually work things out without violence and craziness. Real talk. And we definitely can work things out without twisting history and making it seem like the most heinous acts committed upon a people didn't occur. Because then a person would look at possibly the murder of George Floyd, who was no saint, but still did not deserve to die in that way. He didn't deserve to die at all. And they would look at that and be like, oh, you know, he this, he that, but not taking into consideration the hundreds of years of gross racism, gerrymandering, redlining, all kind of stuff that we continue to go through to this day. People would look at that and think there was something just wrong with us, that we just can't get it together. No, it exists because of slavery. It exists because of the institution of racism. And I'm going to say it one more time. No matter how much money I get, I cannot be racist. Racism is an institution which is perpetuated and instituted by non-melanated people upon melanated people worldwide. I didn't make that up. I don't have control over whether or not you get the loan for your house. I do not have control over whether or not you can live in a certain neighborhood and not be accosted on a regular basis because you're melanin dominant. I do not have that control. White people do. So I can't stand it when people try to throw stuff on black folk and say we're being racist. I can't be racist. I did not invent this negative, nasty institution that you thwarted upon the world. I did not. Lastly, I had touched on the recent appearance of polio in New York City and California. And now they have new commercials, whether you've seen or not, for whooping cough. Whooping cough is like a 1940s, 1950s thing. Whooping cough? Are we seriously? And there's a vaccine for it. When did that happen? Who was working on that? Now we got monkeypox out of the blue. I covered this intensely last week. And I also want to reiterate that although non-homosexual and some children have contracted this so-called disease, 98% of the individuals who have been infected with monkeypox are men who have sex with men. I covered this last week real hard. So if you need to go back to last week's episode, do yourself that favor. But real talk, all of a sudden we got stuff popping up like popcorn that we've never dealt with before. Do you ask yourself why? We really have to take stock of things and begin to ask the question of what in the world is really going on out here. Okay? These are diseases that we have not seen in decades. These are diseases and viruses we haven't seen in decades. Why the new comeback? Okay? Are we paying attention? I always like to make light of things because sometimes stuff is real heavy. And I always say, like, the knowledge that I possess can weigh an individual down like there was an anvil on my head. But I know that knowledge is power, and power is my freedom. So I will continue to get as much information as I possibly can to keep myself sane and not become a paranoid individual. So I always reference Foghorn Leghorn from the Looney Tunes cartoons. And the episode where he is teaching little Egbert Jr., who's a chicken hawk, how to play baseball. He's always like, keep your eye on the ball, boy. Keep your eye on the ball. We got to do that. Keep your eye on what is really, really going on out here. Okay? Many of these issues did not exist until the hot sauce was served up and jabbed into people's arms all across the nation and the world. Okay? I spoke on this last year and even the year before. Okay? I was quoting Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Judy Mikovits, as well as Dr. John Heckenlively, okay, on viral shedding and cytokine storms that would develop and deliver various diseases and viruses in the body as a result of all these spike proteins that were in these different mRNA vaccines. I also spoke about the fact that your RNA is your God particle. Your DNA is the genetics that you get from your parents, but your RNA is very special, and it's a part of your God particle. I always talk about how we are individuated gods having a human experience so that we can develop and grow into being supreme. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Your RNA is very important, and so by attacking it, you are altering yourself. Look at some of the crimes that we're seeing. Look at some of the things that we're really seeing worldwide and, of course, nationwide. Even the guy that was jumping into people's cars to carjack people in, I think it was Las Vegas last week, that person did not seem to be working under human forces, I'll say. Who knows if they got the hot sauce and all of a sudden they just tripping out and going crazy and becoming like a zombie. And ask yourself, why are all these zombie movies out all over television all the time? Not just Night of the Living Dead, but all these other things that seem to suggest the onset and the coming of zombies. There are only but so many ways an individual could actually become a zombie. And definitely if you inject certain things into your bloodstream, especially if those things were not approved, and they don't know what the repercussions will be in years to come, who knows what we're going to face? This is why it's not advised that one should do such things. I continue to say, most of the people that I am aware of in my own personal life who have tested positive for COVID at least 3 and 4 times, all of them have had the hot sauce. All of them. They tested positive 3, 4 times. Meanwhile, the rest of us who did not receive the hot sauce are fine. It's very interesting when you see these things play themselves out. You have to pay attention. It is gravely important that you pay attention to what is going on in the world around you. And again, I say, hygiene remains to be very, very important. Wash your behind every day, 2 or 3 times a day even. Wash your hands. Brush your teeth. You know how much bacteria is in the human mouth? Then you got people who touch their put their fingers in their mouth for various things all the time. I watched a crazy video of a fat white man on a train digging up his behind and smelling it repeatedly. Y'all, come on. Wash. Bathe. Take a shower. Bathe. I always talk about how the ancient Cretans bathed 5 times a day. That bathing 5 times a day becomes your Islamic praying 5 times a day. Then you break down into modern day society where people are lucky if they even pray 1 time a day or even bathe 1 time a day. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I think that's another reason why we've got all such a widespread of all these different things. Because even if you did, how should I say this? Whether you took the hot sauce or not, you still need to bathe. And by failing to do so, the bacteria builds up, the germs build up, and then you go out and hug and kiss people and you ain't wash up. Come on, y'all. Mind you that there are over 2,000 physicians that tried their damnedest to educate folks on the problems and the serious health issues surrounding the hot sauce. Said this before, I'll say it again. The former president of the FDA came out with a statement where he refused to approve the hot sauce because he knew he did not have enough data. They pressured him so much, he retired, and the very next week, they came out and said that they had a vaccine that was approved. And it isn't overly approved. It is approved under emergency use. There's a difference. Approved under emergency use means that they just pushed it through and they want everybody to get it and do everything, la, la, la. Does that mean that it's right? Does that mean that it's safe? Doesn't mean that it's safe for children. Just because you see a commercial doesn't mean that you need to inoculate your child with the hot sauce. Meanwhile, they have studies on how the hot sauce made individuals sterile, made children sterile, killed sperm in men, completely wrecks the outside layer of the placenta in women who are able to get pregnant. Hence, they'll abort that baby. They will have a miscarriage. It clearly states these things. There's over 1,500 adverse reactions to this thing. And yet, and still, people were goaded into taking it. And now people are suffering. Some people are just dropping dead. Some people are getting stroke. Some people are having heart attack, swollen hearts, swollen tongues. Like, I pay attention to these things. I love my life and I love my body. I do not want to introduce things that will kill me quickly. I don't. And so some of you may not necessarily agree with what I'm saying, but I've done so much extensive research, I cannot stress it enough. Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Mikovits and Dr. Heckenlively are white doctors. You also have African-American doctors say the same thing. Dr. Jewel Pookrum, she's another one, like, no, 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 no. Plus 2,000 other scientists put their careers on the line to try to save as many people as possible. And again, I ask you, well, where's the flu? What if the tests are basically stating that you have the flu? And yeah, the flu can also kick your butt. I've had some terrible flus in my life. I'm still here, though, and I didn't get a shot for it. Now you have certain employers demanding that their employees get a flu shot. Nah, son. Something's not right, and you've got to pay attention. So now I'm looking, and I'm seeing these old diseases popping up. Polio? Whooping cough? What? That's not by accident. And stop thinking that your government gives a damn about you, because they really don't. Now, I'm moving on. There was an Instagram post about a couple of weeks ago where they talked about how our ancient ancestors of Kemet were exceptional and had created and invented a great deal of things that we use today. And so it made parallels, okay? So, of course, someone had to comment and completely misinterpret what I said. Okay, my initial comment was in response to the video and how fly it was. You know, I basically stated that these are our ancestors. These are our beautiful melanated ancestors in Africa who were black, basically. And I stated that the word Kemet actually means black land and that the word Kamau, which the people were called, means black people. Well, somebody got themselves all excited and tried to rebut my post and slightly attempted to come for me, even though you can't come for me because I know too much, so I'm not going to get that offended. I'm cool. But it was interesting because the post actually went into the fact that the pyramids of Giza are aligned with the belt of the Orion constellation. There are glyphs of, you know, huge light bulbs and other modern technology, you know, that the speed of light aligns with the height of the Great Pyramid, and that even the Giza Pyramid resembles the motherboard of a computer. Okay, so as a historian, I stated that these were black people and black people did this, and that the person's post was accurate, and it was a good post. However, it never ceases to amaze me how ignorant some people are and that they wish to spout opinion based on emotions instead of research. So I'm going to share the comment that I gave and what I got in reply. So here we go. I said, this is the creation of ancient African melanin-dominant people from Kemet / Egypt, a highly advanced civilization during a golden era age in the world. And these African people gave our current society everything. Everyone sees the false portrayals of the pantheon and believes different lies. The early, as well as the advent and height of this era, was tens of thousands of years ago. And this occurred before the appearance of so-called white people. Look it up for yourself. Do some serious reading and stop taking movies like The Mummy and certain Transformers movies as truth, okay? Kemet means black land, and the Kamau were the people who resided within Kemet. Kamau means black people. Enlighten yourself wholly. Great post. So I get this comment talking about white people aren't as bad as you think they are, bro. Did I say anything bad about white people? I didn't say anything bad about white people in the post. I was like, well, a lot of them are pretty solid folks. Also, aren't you just spreading racism targeted towards white people by saying this? You're just discrediting the many other amazing inventions of whites and therefore are giving black folks a bad rap. Y'all, when I read that, I was like, okay, what ignorant ass am I dealing with this morning? So I found it interesting that this particular individual thought that I was being hard and targeting white people. All I said was that tens of thousands of years ago, there was no such thing as white people. I am not saying anything untrue. So somebody got excited. I was like, you know what? Let me just retort and I'm going to let it go. I said, no. And, you know, in Instagram, you have at their name and so on and so forth. So it's at their name. I said, no, I'm not spreading racism. I'm not a racist at all. I'm speaking about true history. And, unfortunately, there's a movement going on to erase true history and the accomplishments of ancient African civilizations. Our history gets hijacked. I've traveled the globe, and I know what I teach is the truth. It isn't my intention to offend anyone. I'm not discrediting anyone. I have the receipts, and I know history / our story. I suggest you do more research and get out of your feelings. This isn't about racism. It's about facts. I can't give so-called blacks a bad rap. That's been done by white people for far too long. I know who I am. And I'm very proud of my people. We're amazing, intellectual, talented, and original. We continue to give our gifts to the world and always will. Ashe. So evidently, this person got into their feelings and thought that I was trying to trash white people. I ain't trashing you if you ain't exist. How's that possible? So-called white people have only been on the planet for about 10,000 years. We, as melanin-dominant people, have been here for hundreds of thousands of years. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. That's just a fact of the matter. So I wanted to share that with you because it kind of goes back to what I mentioned before about how they want to change education and they want to contort the truth. And if you do that, then you erase so many contributions made by ancient African and melanin-dominant civilizations. You see what they did here in the United States. You eradicated Native American people. You have basically subjugated them all down into, quote-unquote, five civilized tribes when there were thousands of tribes. From Washington State to New York State, full of melanin-dominant Native Americans who were what? Enslaved, renamed as Negro. If they had dark skin, they were renamed as Negro. And they became enslaved. Then you start to lose your heritage. Why is it that we continue to celebrate, quote-unquote, Columbus Day, okay, but we can't celebrate who we really are? Yeah, he gave us African History Month because of Carter G. Woodson, and that was his actual birthday month. But our history is every single day. It's 365 days a year. We have done things every single day. And when I talk about our inventions, I am very specific. We have invented hundreds of things. We invented things that were stolen by white people like Thomas Edison, who y'all wanted, they want to push up and like he was somebody fantastic, when basically all he was a patent stealer. We've been inventing things in this country forever. And I know it. So I'm not going to let you feel comfortable or make, you know, try to make your feelings feel a little bit better because you don't know history. I'm never going to do that, not to anybody. No one anywhere. Sorry, I'm not. My library, my physical library is huge. I give thanks for that. I give thanks for the fact that both of my parents were bookworms and definitely stressed upon my sister and I to have books and to maintain that we could achieve and we could acquire as much knowledge as possible and our brains would not explode. I was grateful for that. I recently inherited their collection because both of my parents have passed. I have some of the most amazing, valuable books ever printed. And I am so thankful. So I'm not here to make anybody feel comfortable about history. History is what it is. It is an actual account of the past. Yeah, a lot of jacked up stuff happened. But I continue to say, if you don't know what happened, you will be liable to repeat it. So encourage your children and your grandchildren, nieces and nephews, and other friends and family to read, to gain as much knowledge as possible. They have religions out here, actual religions. I talked about this before. I'm going to go into it real, real quick. The fact that you have Jehovah's Witness, Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and Seventh-day Adventists here in America, those three, and Mormonism, excuse me, that's the third one, those three religions were specifically created by white illuminists, powerful white men who were crazy as bedbugs. Some of them were even pedophiles and Satanists. They created those three religions to, quote-unquote, mirror the three major religions of the East, which is what? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Those three religions in so many ways promote gross ignorance. Gross ignorance. All you learn is what they teach you. Nah, son. Even when I go into Jehovah's Witness principles, something ain't right. Your mother's dying on her deathbed and you can't give her a pint of blood? Uh-huh. All of your stuff belongs to Jehovah. Okay. You can't vote. Okay. And they don't promote college, that you can't learn more. What? No, and I say no a million times over. I'm going to say this right here. So many symbols that were taken from Kemet have been abused and misused by so-called white people. The swastika that Jews are so afraid of that Hitler used was an actual symbol of good luck. Okay? It has its roots in African, ancient, Indo history. Indus Kush, which is what India became, was an actual country that was developed by the Kushites, black Africans. That's where the swastika comes from. Even when you look at the Jewish star, it's not the Jewish star. It's a Cometan thing. The triangles mean, the upper triangle means masculine, the bottom triangle means feminine, and together it means the divine masculine and feminine energy of the universe. Add some wings and it's called a sephardet. There are so many things that have been stolen. Stolen. And contorted and misused when they're our symbols. If you look up the flag of Morocco, that Moorish flag is one of the original flags of this nation, because this was our Morocco over here, okay? The Moors were over here. That flag stood, and those people reigned for thousands of years as native black people. That is also known as the cherry tree. Yes, the cherry tree that George Washington says that he chopped down. When he says, I chopped down my father's cherry tree, he means I have eradicated the Moorish nation as we know it in this land. It is code. But you won't know this if you don't know and if you haven't researched and obtained such knowledge. Knowledge is everything. It's not opinionated. It's fact because it existed. It is a thing. So I do not want to hear that they're trying to change the educational system, that they're trying to change the narrative around slavery, that they want to just completely throw the 1619 Project in the gutter and act like it didn't happen. It did. The research that that sister did was incredible. She gets mad kudos for that. But because it makes individuals uncomfortable, they want to act like it's not true. Nah, baby. As much as y'all ram the Holocaust down our throat, we admit that that did occur. We know that that did happen, and it was horrible, so was slavery. And many other things that we're dealing with to this day because of this type of action to eradicate history and to change the narrative on things. No, I say know what it is. Call a thing and know what it is. Lastly on this subject, over all of the doorways in the Kemetan temples in Kemet / Egypt, it says, Si-a-ekes, si-a-ek-petu neteru. What that means is, man, know thyself and know that ye are the gods. Let that sit for a second. And yes, Sister Dawn, one of the movies is Fahrenheit 451. But there's so many other movies on it, girl. Okay. And like I told y'all, look up that one, Gattaca. Look up that movie Gattaca. So lastly, and let me check and see where we are. All right. Lastly, I want to just touch on this for a moment. And I'm going to preface it by stating that I am not a religious person. I am a very spiritual entity. I am not a religious individual because I know that religion takes God out of you in many instances. One of the people who actually got this right in terms of the fact that you were God having a human experience was Reverend Ike. His church in Harlem was amazing. And I only had the opportunity of being in it and seeing it because now it's just a theater where people have performances and stuff. And so I had the opportunity to perform there. But he was one of the only ones back in his time to get that correct. And you can look him up now. You can look him up on YouTube and look at his past speeches and different things like that. He hit it right on the head. So recently, I've been having some serious discussions on the fact that we actually control our own reality by how we think and what we actually believe. Okay? We all have way more power than we're actually led to understand, understand, and overstand. And I use those three because I said this before, if you're understanding something, then you're under it. You can't, how much of a grasp can you have on it if you're under it? If you understand, then you know it's something that is happening within. And if you overstand, then you really, really, really get it. So some people would ask me, well, how does this work? From a metaphysical standpoint, and I've touched on this before, but I want to reiterate it because I feel like a lot of us lose it. From a metaphysical standpoint, we have brains. Our brains are exceptionally powerful. Our brains emit electrical static energy when we have a thought. They have actually seen this happen when people have thoughts, and it looks like a lightning storm is going off in the brain. We also have a neural net. The neural net is the connectivity of thoughts, ideas, situations, emotions, all those things, all connected. So when we have a thought, electrical energy comes out of the brain, past the skull, into the air, into the atoms, and actually connects itself to the electrons in the atoms. If we hold a thought long enough, it can manifest itself into a reality. And so we have control over that. I have learned that it takes anywhere between 30 and 40 days to actually alter the neural net in the mind, in the brain, to create a new thought and hold it. And as you hold it, it goes out into the universe and into your immediate area to clump together the atoms and the electrons, and they help to create your physical reality, a situation, a happenstance, whatever you want to call it. That's why the first universal law is the mind. The universe is mental. It is all mind. So whenever you do pray, okay, you are actually speaking to, talking to, relating with the great mind of things. There is no man in the sky on a throne. That's pretty, but that's not true. If there is, we're talking about an extraterrestrial entity. We're not talking about the force of creation, because the force of creation is invisible. It is feminine and masculine at the same time. It is raw energy. That is what some people might call God. I don't like to use, I use that word for people to understand what I'm talking about, but I know I'm not dealing with that. I know that I'm dealing with the forces of nature. I know that I am dealing with a prime source of energy from which I come from. I know it inhabits me and allows me to experience things so that it experiences things. I hope you're following me. I know I'm going deep, but I really need this to drive home to y'all, because I have some people who I'm counseling and they are afraid. They are afraid of who they think they're praying to, so on and so forth. I'm like, ultimately, you're really praying to yourself. Yes, you're praying to that primordial source of energy, but it is you. It is in you. This is why I continue to stress love and joy and peace and happiness. I'm not trying to sound like I'm just singing Ring Around the Rosie. I know that love is the highest vibration in this universe. It's got the biggest wave, and it is the most powerful source of energy that has ever existed. Fear is the opposite of love, not hate, fear. Hate is an aspect of fear, which is why it is said to fear nothing except, quote unquote, the Creator. But you need not fear that either, because it has given you eternal life as a soul, not a body, a soul. We are here to learn lessons. We are here to grow and to become the best entities that we can be with each lifetime that we encounter. We wish that we can be happy all the time and healthy all the time. That's wonderful. But in some lifetimes, we may not be. And we have to combat that with love, with joy, with thanksgiving. I have someone who I counsel who's really going through a rough time, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, every which way, going through a very difficult time. And I am here to continue to reiterate to them that they can make it better with how they think and believe. You cannot say to me that you want to heal, but then you don't believe that you can. If that is the case, you will not. What is faith? Faith is the belief of things unseen, yes? To just have the faith that it will happen, to have the faith that it will occur for you. But part of that also comes in with how you think. You cannot have faith in something that you don't believe. It won't happen. And I'm using the word believe just so you can get what I'm saying, because I really don't try to use that word too much either, because when you break it down, it just means be lie-eve and you're lying to the children of Eve. No. What we're doing is we are actualizing our reality by our thought process as well as our vibration. I know that my primary disposition and my primary vibration is love. It is not fear. It is not hate. It is not sadness. It is not guilt or anything negative. I know that my primary disposition is love, which is why I'm going to be that to the best of my ability. And even though I am human, I do experience sadness, but I do not wallow in it. I will not stay in it for long, because I know that if I do, I'm changing the molecular structure around me. I know that if I do, I will continue to bring upon more sadness, more unhappiness, and that can get very unattractive. So I combat negativity with love, with faith, with knowing that I am a divine entity, knowing that I have God, Goddess inside of me, that I am a little mini creator, and that I can manifest beautiful things in my reality, not just for myself, but for my family, for my husband, for my sister and her family, for my mother and my parents who are deceased now. But seriously, when my mother was alive and she was going through difficult times, we would pray and I would hold her and I would love her and she would get well. My mother beat cancer 3 times. Okay, she died for like a minute and a half and came back to life after her thyroid exploded. I was her caretaker in that time frame. I was 10 years old. I was loving her up, making her laugh. We were watching cartoons. We were doing all types of things to go against what was actually happening to her so we could change it. I was 10. I am now 56. My mother just passed 3 years ago. But she's with me every day. I can feel her. Sometimes I can smell her. So we have to move beyond our physical selves sometimes, because sometimes our physical reality can suck. I know that. But also sometimes it can still be beautiful and it can be grand. But there's even more beyond that. And I'm talking about this week because I feel like there are some of you out there that are trapped in your reality. You're trapped into what you think your life should be and that you're not meeting that, and so you're depressed and you're sad. Or maybe you're physically ill and you're going through something right now. It doesn't mean that this is your entire existence. It is not. It is a moment in time that you can transcend. It is a moment in your life that you can improve upon. Right now, I live in Eastern Standard Time, right? It's dark outside. Is the sun still shining someplace? Yes, it is. Even when it's cloudy and it's raining, is the sun still shining above the clouds? Yes, it is. So sometimes, just by knowing that, I can beat a negative attitude. I can beat a negative feeling or a sadness or a depressive state. And it also helps to communicate. One of my dear ones reached out to me, and it was heavy because I had reached out to one of my other friends just last week because I didn't like how I was feeling. And they were there for me. I got it out. And when I woke up the next day, I felt 1,000 times better. Trust me, you are not listening to a saint, okay? I am human. I have feelings. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down, and sometimes I need my friends. I will always need my friends. Yes, I love and adore my husband. He's my best friend, but I still have my girls. I still have my dear girlfriends from 20-something years, 30 years of friendship. We are ride or die. We are here for each other for life. And through death. So one of my dear ones reached out to me yesterday, very upset. And I didn't really have the physical time to get to them, but I let them know that I would. And so we talked today for like 5 hours, which is why my voice sounds hoarse. And I was reiterating to her just what I'm saying to you. Because we might be in a situation, even a physical situation, where we're sick and we're going through something, I asked her, is this how you've always been? Of course her answer is no. So if her answer is no, then that means that you can move past it so that it won't be here again, so that it won't be there with you in the future, so that you can heal. And I know that she's sad and she's confused and she feels like God is not with her. She feels like God has abandoned her or that she's done bad things and God won't love her. And I'm letting her know that that is an impossibility. She's not a mass murderer, okay? She's human. We make mistakes. But even when we make mistakes, it doesn't mean that your Creator doesn't love you. It means that your Creator wants you to get better, to be better, to do better. That's all it means. So we go through things so that we can transcend them. We go through things so that we can value how beautiful life is. We go through things so we know when we get over it to the other side and it feels wonderful and you can remember, wow, that was jacked up, but now I'm in a better place, I'm in a better space. That is what the universe wants for you. That is what your creature's creator wants for every single one of us, which is why we have free will. I expressed to my friend, seriously, we have free will. We can jump off a cliff. You could run your car into a tree or over the damn mountain. You could do whatever you want. You can love. You can love in spite of fear. You can love in spite of someone being mean to you. You can love. You can move on. None of us are supposed to be in a state where we're getting beaten up or we're mentally or physically or emotionally abused. None of us. But it's up to us to learn that. It's up to us to take those punches and be like, ow, I don't want to experience this anymore. I'm going to move beyond this. It doesn't mean I'm going to kill myself. No, it means I'm going to move beyond this so that the rest of my physical life is joyous and happy. This is a temporary moment that is uncomfortable for me. But we are the ones co-create our reality, and most of us are doing this unintentionally. So we feel like we're being thrown about like a rag doll in the world. You're throwing yourself around because you're not controlling your thoughts. This is why I do stress meditation and being still in quiet and just reaffirming things to yourself over and over again like a mantra, saying the same thing over and over to yourself. It's interesting. Like sometimes if I feel like I'm in a financial state where I need a little bit of money or I want a lot of money, it depends, I have a mantra that I will use and I remind myself. My birthright is abundance. Abundance is my birthright. I am healthy, wealthy, wise, and strong. I am wealthy. And I say it over and over and over again. And then, boom, the next day something happens, or the next couple of days something happens where I'm getting money. I have always stressed to every client and even my friends and my family, do not worry about how. The universe, the creator's creator, will take care of how. You just plant the desire and focus on it in a loving and grateful way, and it will manifest for you before you know it. But you cannot do it and have doubt. You cannot do it and disbelieve it or question it like it's just impossible what you're asking for. Because if that is what you're doing, that is what you'll get. It won't happen. So for this particular person that I'm dealing with now who's been ill for over a year, I'm constantly trying to reiterate to them, number one, I will never give up on you. I will never give up on them. I love them as my sister and my friend. And I will do everything I can to help them get through their situation so that they are healthy and strong again and in a better emotional state. I will continue to reiterate love and joy about this person. I let her know today, I am grateful to have you in my life. I love and adore you. I need you to love and adore yourself. I need you to forgive yourself. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. We'd be forgiving everybody else, but we don't forgive ourselves. If we made an effed up mistake, if we put ourselves in a terrible situation, we need to forgive ourselves so we can get out of it. We need to love up on ourselves. And yeah, I'm that person who will put my own arms around myself and kiss myself on my shoulder and hug myself and tell myself, I love you. Because I can't love anybody else until I love me. And I learned a long time ago, I got to love myself up. And that gives me so much energy to love everybody else unconditionally. And it doesn't mean I make myself a punching bag for anybody else emotionally or physically. Hell no. But it does mean that I can also stand up for myself. If something is happening to me and I don't like it and it makes me uncomfortable, I can speak on it kindly. I don't have to be outrageous. And sometimes it takes a moment and you got to kind of decompress and calm yourself down before you decide to express yourself to someone about something that's bothering you. You don't always want to react in rage. Rage is kind of wild. You want to be controlled. You want to be calm. But if you are in a situation, whether it is physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever it is, and you don't like it, and you're not happy, begin to reprogram your reality. My friend asked me, how do I do that? I said, you use your imagination. One of the most wonderful and amazing things that we have as human beings is that we have an imagination, and we can make and create things out of that imagination. Whether you make music, whether you're an artist, whether you're a scientist, whether you're a good parent, whatever it is that you do, you have that ability. So utilize it for the best. I reiterated to this individual that they are strong. I reiterated to them that they have purpose. They are loving and wonderful and beautiful in this world, and their creator's creator, who is the creator's creator of all of us, adores them. But it will only want for you what you want for yourself. It wants way more for us than we could ever really understand. But we have to be the ones to have these desires and to program our reality to achieve such a desire. I'm being very raw right now. I'm being really open. There was once a time when I didn't know if I would ever get married, because I know I love so hard, and I'm a very, very loving person. And so I have been broken. I have been taken advantage of. I was damn near destroyed. But I knew, even in the seed of a mustard seed, I knew I had purpose. I knew I was loving and that I was loved. Even if I wasn't being loved by that a particular individual, I knew that I was loved by the universe, and I knew I was loved by my family and my dear friends. And so, again, I had to love myself enough to make the changes necessary. But then came a time when I actually said, I am worthy. I know I'm worthy. I know I'm going to find a wonderful man who will be my friend and my confidant, my lover and my husband. I know I will. One day, I don't know what he looks like, but he exists. Because if these feelings I have exist, this man exists for me in the world somewhere. I'll meet him somewhere. I'll meet him someday. And so I just held on to that. But I had to sit in that. I had to believe it. I had to get rid of the thought that there wouldn't be anyone who could ever love me that much, because I love so hard and I'm a loving, caring person. I had to get rid of the thoughts that all these men are the same, or all these men just after one thing, or they're just going to take advantage of me. I had to get rid of that. I had to disbelieve that and begin to know that there was someone special for me. And lo and behold, here comes my husband. And even when I say my husband, it brings me so much joy in every part of my body to be able to say, this man is my husband, who I know loves and adores me, and I love and adore him to the sun and beyond. So I'm saying this to say, again, you ain't talking to no saint. I didn't always have the answers. I had to learn. I had to grow. But I also did a lot of work. I did a lot of research in metaphysics. I did a lot of studying. Dr. Joe Dispenza, or is it, I think it's Dispenza. What's his name? I can see the book right now. Joseph Murphy, Dr. Joseph Murphy. Like, these are individuals who have put out books and other information on how you can actually change your life. You got to do the work, though, and it can't be flimsy. Indeed, Queen, Ashe, Asheo, yes. Like, we're worth so much. And even to the individual I was speaking to today, okay, who has a serious physical condition, but I'm emphasizing to her, do not get overly caught up in your physical reality, because there is way more going on in the unseen than the seen. Our physical reality is not that big. It's cute, but it's not that big. The non-physical, the invisible, baby, huge, 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 huge. Bigger than you can imagine. So we have to sit in that energy. We have to know that we're in control. When we maintain a positive outlook and a positive attitude, when we actually have a desire that we really want to manifest, that we focus on it with right intent, that we do utilize mantras and we do say the same thing over and over again, it works very well at night before you're going to go to bed. Even if you're not saying it out loud is better, but even if you're saying it in your head over and over again, even if you're telling yourself, I am love, I am loving. If you do desire that partner, no, I am love, I am loving, and there is someone out there, there is an individual out there, a man or a woman out there, that will love me as much as I love them. And know that it's the truth. It will happen for you. So don't think of yourself as this non-powerful individual. We are so powerful. It's just that there's a lot of crap out here to make you feel otherwise. There's a lot of stuff out here that makes you sound like you're insignificant or you're lowly. Like I say, even when you're dealing with the Christian Bible, the whole women being wicked and all that, ain't no women, you're wicked if you want to be wicked. And please believe there's wicked men too. So I'm not, all that is some BS to me. There's wicked people in the world. We know this. But you're not born that way. You are the one that can create your reality and how you see a thing, how you see something. Is it good or is it bad to you? Is it positive or is it negative? Only you know this. So if you've experienced enough negativity and you realize, okay, I don't want that. That is not my desire. Then you push up the love inside of yourself. Loving yourself, knowing that you're special and divine in your own right. And you're worthy. You're worthy. A lot of us have been through a lot of stuff, but it doesn't make you unworthy. It does not make you a person that cannot experience love, happiness, and gladness. And all. No, it doesn't mean that. Make that your focus. And again, I say, if you are ill and you're going through something or even if you're going through something negative, even relationship-wise or work-wise or whatever, and you want to change that, change your mind. Maintain control over your thoughts. Realize what you're saying to yourself and what you're putting out. Is it love or is it negativity? It's very interesting. I mean, I have people in my life, I know people who seem to have it all. Beauty, intellect, monetary things, physical things. But yet, their attitude was a little laissez-faire. And they like to tease people. They like to make other people feel bad. And that is a gross example of someone who's insecure. But they didn't realize that. And so they would get themselves into relationships and be either heartbroken or physically accosted. And they would seem to express confusion. And I had to break it down to them that what they gave out was what they were going to get back. So just because they were pretty and smart and had physical things did not mean life was going to be an easy road for them, because they took it upon themselves to be mean to people. And all you're going to get is more meanness in varying ways. But although that person was beautiful and had intellect and all these things, they didn't really realize it within themselves. And so, yeah, the universe dealt them a swift hand, and they thought their whole world was crumbling. And I was like, if you don't want it to crumble, you need to change your disposition. You need to change your mind. You need to change how you interact with people. You need to be more loving. Even if you start giving to charity or whatever, but you need to be more loving. You need to be more kind. And then maybe, if you focus hard enough, it'll happen for you. That is how the universe works. So again, I say, and I'm not trying to like poo-poo every religion, because I've learned a lot from different religious theories. I was raised as Christian. I was baptized before I could talk, you know, and I had a lot of issues with Christianity, you know, and their views upon women. And then I took a serious left turn into Islam, despite what it said about women. But I learned a lot. And then I got into Buddhism for a hot second. And then I started to get into metaphysics. And I realized that all of these things came from metaphysics, and that the deepest studies in religion, the esoteric studies in every faith, primarily talking about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, take you into metaphysics. But religion is man-made. So if man seeks to control man, right? If someone else is seeking to control you, how will you evolve? I remember having this debate with my mother, who was a very devout Christian, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I knew that in the esoteric teachings of Christianity, you're learning how to become a Christ. But that's the esoteric version. That's not the regular version that everybody gets. So I'm like, well, if I'm supposed to become a Christ, how is it that I'm spending most of my time worshiping a Christ? If I'm on my knees constantly worshiping a Christ, how do I become one? Because I'm looking at something outside of myself. I'm trying to appease something in someone outside of myself. But I'm not really realizing that I am that. And all I have to do is strive to be the best I can be, meaning to be loving, to be joyous, gracious, thankful, all those kinds of things. I may not know how to turn water into wine, but I do know how to manifest a positive reality for myself. I know how to send love and positive energy to anyone I choose anywhere on this earth. And in most instances, they feel it. They begin to think about me, and then they call me and I was just thinking about you. And I said, because I was praying for you. I was thinking about you. I was wanting love and happiness and joy for you. And so you felt it all the way on the other side of the planet or in another part of the country. We have the power to do this. And it's interesting how people who I have found in my life that I call my dear friends, my sister friends, even male friends, we have this vibration of energy. We have this loving, beautiful vibration that's very high for most of the people that we encounter, and we wish love and joy and peace to every entity everywhere. And I know these people. So with regard to the person that I was talking about who's ailing physically and spiritually and mentally, I'm doing my best to remind them of the joy that they've brought to my life. I'm doing my best to remind them of how much power they really have and that they're not insignificant because they feel like they made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Nobody is perfect down here. We're not perfect. We're striving to be as good as we can, and we must be patient with ourselves in the process. That is what makes us powerful. So I know I got 17 seconds on air on the computer, so I'm wishing love and light to everybody within the sound of my voice. Thank you, Sister KK and Sister Dawn. I love you all so much. And everybody, I hope you heard me, and I wish you all the best from here on every day. Remember what I said. Ashe. For anybody who is still on with me, who's on the phone, I need you all to just realize that you are a beautiful entity of love and light, and that is what you need to continue to concentrate on. Do not get overly hung up in your physical reality if it is not what you desire, because you can program a new reality. Your brain is the greatest hard drive the Creator's Creator has ever made. There will never be a computer smarter than your brain. And you have the power to live the life that you desire. You have a gift. You have a talent somewhere if you haven't found it. If you have found it, blessings upon you and happiness to you that you found your gift and you can move and work in your gift. But we are beautiful, amazing people. And those of us who are truly children of the sun, we are able to intuit and receive information from the sun. So while we're in summertime, we only have a little bit more time for summer, but the sun shines. Get out into it. Let it touch your skin. Let it touch your pineal gland. Let it touch your face and your forehead so that it goes through into your pineal gland. Know that you are a divine entity. You are beautiful and you are amazing, and there is no other entity anywhere in the universe like you. Be your best self. Be love and be light, and try to rise above negativity as much as you can. Eradicate negativity from your life. If you've got toxic people in your life, put them at bay. They may be a family member. Put them somewhere else. You do not need to be in a constant interaction with a negative entity all the time. It is very unhealthy for you. And there are some of us who are in such negative situations that we don't even actualize how negative it is. But you always know how negative it is until you're not around it anymore and you feel joy and you feel peace. And it's okay. It is okay to remove yourself from other negative entities. It is perfectly fine. I want everybody to live their best life in this lifetime. We're coming back anyway, but enjoy this one. Make the most of it so that your next lifetime will be even better, and the next one after that will even be better than that, and so on, until we are all so fortunate that we do not have to come back into a body and experience these things. Be love, be light, be strong. Thank you all so much for allowing me to express myself this week, not just with the news, but for everything I was just talking about. I definitely felt that Spirit wanted me to express this to you, because there are a lot of things going on in the world right now, and a lot of people are getting lost. Some people are paranoid and desperate, and I just say no need for that. No need for that. Calm heads always prevail, and all great things are achieved through a light heart. A heavy heart is nothing to hold on to. A heavy heart can lead to an early death. So stay light, stay bright. Let's protect each other. Watch out for our elderly. Take care of the babies. And live your best life. Thank you all so much. Have a beautiful week ahead. I think I'm going to be on next Monday. You'll know. I'll let you know. But thank you so much this week. And to anyone, like I said, in the need of healing or positive change, just know that you are the answer. You have the answer. Project the reality that you desire. Use your brain to think positive thoughts. Create those mantras, whether it's three sentences or four statements or whatever. Repeat them to yourself over and over and over again for at least 10 minutes every night before you go to bed. I'm telling you, you will manifest the reality that you desire. Nothing is impossible. If you can think it, it can be real. Okay? Nothing is impossible, because impossible is nothing. You can achieve whatever desire you hold. Please understand, understand, and overstand that, and do your best. Be a good human, fam. Be a good human. All right? Again, peace and love and happy birthday to all of the Leos. Virgo season is coming up. Live your best life, fam. Live your best life. Be grand. Be glorious. And know that you have it. You have the power. And you can do whatever you seek to achieve. You can do it. I know you can do it. I've done it. And if I can do it, so can you. So I'm just trying to find something to go out on. And I'm just grateful. Where is it? Give me a minute. You know, I hope that y'all heard me. I hope that some of you definitely felt where I was coming from tonight. I really do. And, I know what I could do. This would be nice. 1 second. Let me see if I can find it. All right, here we go. I'm going to take y'all out with Blackbird by Blaze featuring Josh Milan. All right, one love, family. Have a blessed week and stay amazing. Love you all. Peace.
Fly away before the winter comes.